So I just want to continue on our theme of come Holy Spirit. And so I can't remember the last time I preached, but I said, oh, I'll be back. And this will be part two. And then I was preparing. I realized, oh, this will now be part two of three. So I broke it down even shorter for you guys. And I think it makes more sense when in September I speak about missions happening at SP. And so the title of today's message is really simple. It is titled, Holy Spirit, I Need You. As we've been on this theme of come Holy Spirit, for me the question and the prayer I've been asking God has been, for what purpose? And I love this quote by Tim Keller that says, God sees us as we are, loves us as we are, accepts us as we are, but by his grace, he does not leave us as we are. And I love that quote of just how the transformation of how God, through his love and through his acceptance and by his grace, brings transformation in our lives. And in some way, that is what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is in so many different ways. It's not leaving us as we are. And whether you think yourself as a Christian or not, I think there's so many people that are looking for change in their life. They're looking to be either better people or wanting to grow in some way. Yet, but God, by his grace, changes us and transforms us by his love and his acceptance of us. And I love this quote where it says, praying to him when the limitations of our power clash with the greatness asked of us. And my question to you this morning is, have you ever made your capacity an excuse? Have you ever felt powerless to be who God has called you to be? Powerless to do what God has called you to do. You've looked at your capacity and limitations. All you see is where you fall short, and you say to yourself, I can never be that. I could never do that. And as some of us, just in defeat, simply say, that's just simply who I am. Our challenge is to surrender to God's capacity and ability to be glorified through our own capacity and limitations. And so the biblical truth I want to look at this morning is very simple, is that I cannot be and do what God has called me to be and do without the Holy Spirit. I cannot be and do what God has called me to be and do without the Holy Spirit. Our SP mission here, as laid on this pulpit, says to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that actually enables us to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. Yet many of us try to do those things by our own human will and our own self-sufficiency. And so I want to read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And it says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from heaven from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that we would just embrace the love that you have for us and the acceptance that you have for us. and be transformed by the grace that you offer, that you leave us none the same. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come this morning to speak into our lives, to soften our hearts to what you want to do, that we cannot be and do what you have called us to be and do without you. This is our confession. I cannot do it without you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I wanted to just to review from the last messages real quick on some of the points that I went through. And so there's four points that I had mentioned about this message. And it's one of them is the Father's promise, the Father's authority, the Father's empowerment, and the Father's mission. Last time I spoke about the Father's promise and the Father's authority. Today I'll share more on the Father's empowerment, and then next time on the Father's mission. And so the context of this scripture here is that Jesus has died and has resurrected, and he gathers all his disciples one last time before he ascends to the Father. And these are some of Jesus' last words to his disciples. From verses 4 through 5, he says, "Wait for the promise of the Father. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Point number one was simply the Father's promise. That the Holy Spirit is a person. That he is God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. And that God grants the Holy Spirit to all who believe. That is the Father's promise. That the Holy Spirit is not a feeling or an energy or a vibe. That sometimes we just simply, just because we have a hard time understanding or grasping the Holy Spirit, we just bring down the Holy Spirit in terms of a feeling or an energy or a vibe. That when we walk into church and where we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's like we just see it as just this energy. And the truth is, though the Holy Spirit manifests itself in our experiences and our feelings, and so it's quite easy to confuse that, but the reality from Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit is beyond that, and that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that we can have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. That just as we talk to Jesus about our days, or when we talk to Jesus about our lives, or when we talk to God our Father, and we share with him our struggles, our hurts, our pains, in the same way we can talk to the Holy Spirit. And so we can have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, comfort us, lead us, give us peace, counsel us, and bring conviction of sin, of righteousness, and transform our lives. And so the Holy Spirit, through relationship with the Holy Spirit, brings so many of these things into our lives. And so the next point was from verse 7. Where Jesus says to the disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." So the next point was simply speaking on the Father's authority. That the disciples here longed for the end time when they believed God would restore the kingdom of Israel. Versus Jesus' vision is for the kingdom of God. In verse 1 it says, Jesus came about through the Holy Spirit, speaking about what? The kingdom of God. Versus the disciples had a different idea about the kingdom of Israel being restored. And for that, is that we can sometimes get lost in our own kingdom. We can get lost in building our own kingdom that we forget about Jesus' vision for the kingdom of God. And so, we can also get lost in the end time, that we're just so focused about the end time. Have you ever met people that are end time focused? That they're always thinking about, oh, Jesus is coming, this is the end, this is the end, this is the end. And they're kind of, their everyday life, their present is kind of a mess. Because they're just so focused on the end time that they forget about the present. And so many times, even Christians can get very crazy about this. And I gave an example last time, how about in LA, there was a cult movement that happened that they gave the date about when Jesus was coming back. And so they posted it in billboards everywhere. And so people are like selling their stuff. And then everyone's waiting for that day. And that day never comes. And the guy goes, oh, sorry, my bad. I got the math wrong. You know, there's people that are out there, they're just so focused about the end times that they forget about the present time that we have here, living in the here and the now. That is not to not think about the return of Jesus, because Jesus will come back. But there are so people that are so far ahead that they forget about living now in the present. And part of this is when Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. That is one of the hardest things I feel that is hard for many of us to accept. When God maybe doesn't say it, but we're going through seasons in our life when we do not know or understand the time or the seasons of our lives, that it is hard for us to hear those words. But it is essential in our faith to have that trust where we can surrender our need to know and surrender to God's timing and authority in our lives. Now, I say that just so casually. But I understand and I empathize that when we're going through tough seasons in our lives, how hard it can be to walk through those seasons in our lives as well. So what does the present, the here and now require of us? How should we then live? And how does the Holy Spirit help us? And that brings us to today's main scripture is from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so the main point for today is the Father's empowerment. The Father's empowerment upon our lives. And here in verse 8, it says, but you will receive power. Who is Jesus talking to? He is talking to his disciples. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, this word is for you. And this word is that you will receive power. That word receive is an act of giving by the Father. It is his promise for us, as Jesus says, that I will send the Father's promise to you. And so he gives us the power. He gives for us to receive. And that word that is used here in the Greek is used as to grab hold. That as you grab hold, you receive the gift. You receive the Holy Spirit. You grab hold of the Holy Spirit. And so my question for you this morning is, have you grabbed hold of the Holy Spirit? Do you hold the Holy Spirit in your life? And does the Holy Spirit hold you as well? And the answer is yes. If you answered to the question is, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? There are so many people that doubt their relationship with the Holy Spirit. Part of it has to do with theology, with our experiences of the Holy Spirit, that they wonder, they've been walking with Jesus, they've given their life to Jesus, they've been transformed by God through the Holy Spirit, and they still wonder, oh, do I have the Holy Spirit in my life? But here Jesus says that you will receive power, that you as a disciple of Jesus, that is you, you could include yourself in that statement, that you will receive, grab hold of this power. And so what does Jesus promise for us to receive? His power. But this power is no ordinary power. The word that we use, that is used here is dunamis. And it means it is strength and ability to exert and put forth, to carry something into effect. And I like that definition, that when this power that we receive, this power brings strength and ability to bring about and to carry something into effect. So this power is not just still or quiet or silent, but is actually at work in our lives, bringing something into effect. And it has the strength and the ability to put that and to make that happen in our lives, such as could not be produced by natural agents and means. Meaning that many times that we're trying and we're looking for change in our lives, we're looking within ourselves, within our self-sufficiency. But this power that Jesus is talking about is not produced by natural agents and means, which means we can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. We can't force the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't, even though we dim the lights, we play the music softly, the Holy Spirit chooses and moves as he wants. And so what Jesus is simply saying by pronouncing these words that you will receive power, he is saying this power is going to give you the strength and ability to do what you cannot do by your own strength and ability. That is the power that Jesus is talking about. That what we cannot do by our own strength and ability through the power of the Holy Spirit, that power comes for us to be able to do that. And I find that very comforting in my life. I find that to be very comforting because how many of us try to bring so much change in our lives? How many of us have made empty promises to God to say, this is the last time, I'll never do it again. And then the next day or a week later, there we are again. It's, oh, sorry, God, this is the last time. And we're looking at ourselves to continually be the ones with our strength, with our ability to bring about the change that is only needed, that can only be brought by the power. And so this power is going to give you the strength and ability to do what you cannot do by your own strength and ability. And so this power Jesus refers to cannot be obtained or orchestrated by human will and determination. You receive it. And I think that's a bit hard for us sometimes in a culture where everything that we do has to be earned. Especially if we've grown up in a family where even love has to be earned, where things have to be earned in our lives, to simply know that Jesus says, hey, this promise of the Father that comes with power is a gift for you to receive. Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that is when power comes into our lives. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this verse, what this verse is here trying to teach us and is saying to us, when it's saying has come upon you, is trying to describe having arrived, entered, and abides and remains in our lives. So each one of you, if you said that, yes, I am a follower of Jesus, I am a disciple of Jesus, each one of you has the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit is living in you. The Holy Spirit abides in you and remains in you. No matter if you feel so, even though you're a follower of Jesus and you might feel so guilty and ashamed of yourself, guess what? The Holy Spirit still lives in the messiness of our lives. And I think that's a beautiful thing because I think most of us are always looking for, hey, let me clean up the place for you, God, before you come into my life. But the Holy Spirit says, actually, I'm the one that's here to clean up your life. You don't need to clean it up. You just need to let me in and surrender. And so the Holy Spirit abides and remains in our lives. And what this verse here is trying to also communicate is that what has come is namely from heaven. And I like that idea because when I summarize this point here, is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, as he abides and remains in us, he brings about heavenly power for our lives. That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're not praying for more of earth on earth. We're praying for God's kingdom, God's heavenly power to come into earth and to reign. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and abides in our lives and the Holy Spirit brings about heavenly power for our earthly lives. So the question is, as I finish up here, how does the Holy Spirit help us? The Holy Spirit helps us to live empowered lives, to be and do what God has called us to be and do by dwelling in us. The source of our empowerment is not ourselves, but the Holy Spirit. Such a simple concept that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be and do what we cannot be and do by ourselves, but by dwelling us. The source of our empowerment is not ourselves, but the Holy Spirit. However, when we rely on our own ability and capacity, our own self-sufficiency and human will, it will continually leave us burnt out. It leaves us disappointed, feeling guilty, ashamed, and frustrated. Confession, that's me sometimes. There's things in my life where I'm trying to work at. You could say, as you could look at every area of your life. I look at it and every area of my life. I was like, whether it's as a coworker, as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, as a son, there's certain areas where I was like, man, God, there's certain things in my life that I wish I was like, I'm not even trying to hold on to. I'm like, here, just take it, remove it from my life. But I realized, wow, sometimes I'm just trying to do it out of my own self-sufficiency, my own human will. And I think maybe part of the reason why we do that is because it almost seems too easy to just surrender to the Holy Spirit. But I realize that the more we try, the constantly we fall and we fall short, the more we find ourselves feeling burnt out, disappointed, and feeling guilty, ashamed, and frustrated. When I think about the story of the prodigal son, I look at that story and I feel like I'm the prodigal son at least a few times during the year. That story of the prodigal son does not relate to me just coming to Jesus the first time in my life. But I feel like there's so many times where I feel like the prodigal son throughout the year, where I feel like, oh, I've just drawn away from God and I need to run back to him. And he brings me and he invites me home and he embraces me. But if you're running on your own self-sufficiency and your own human will, you can relate that it leaves you tired and burnt out. Why? Because the reality is that our best efforts cannot begin to equal God's best. No matter what you could be the most disciplined person, the most disciplined person ever, and still it falls short of God's best working out in your life. And so I want to give you seven ways of how the Holy Spirit's power is evident in your life and bringing about change. And maybe you're aware of it, or maybe you're not. But this is how the Holy Spirit's power is evident in your life. Number one is your affections are being transformed. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that, oh, I feel like I now want to come to church. That could be one of those things that you used to hate church, and now you're like, now I actually like coming to church. That could be one of those things, but it could also be just a ritual thing that we do sometimes. But what I mean by our affections are being transformed has to do, yes, with wanting to be in community as church. It has to do with wanting to be with God through either prayer or through worship. In some ways, as we begin to understand what the heart of God is, and we begin to say, God, what your heart is, what you love, that's what I want to love. What you hate, that's what I want to hate. That things that you may have loved before, that when you came to Jesus, maybe for some of you it was so suddenly that you gave them up right away. For me, I confess, and my mom is here, I don't know if she actually knows this, but I used to have marijuana in my room. And so when I came back from a church retreat, the first thing I did, no one told me this, automatically my affections changed, and suddenly I threw away my Slim Shady CDs that I had burned. I know, you had CDs, now you found out how old I really am. And then I threw out the marijuana that I had that I never touched. I was always scared of it because of my mom. So thank you, Mom, for the fear of a parent. But all of a sudden, there's things that I was like, didn't make sense to me anymore. That there, it wasn't that I said to myself, okay, these are the things I now need to change for me to be right with God. They just happened naturally. That was just the work of the Holy Spirit happening in my life. Next is that your actions begin to be transformed. Suddenly you feel like, oh, I should love my neighbor. Suddenly you feel like, oh, I should be kind. I should be loving. I should be gentle. I should be patient. All that's just the work of the Holy Spirit working in your life, that your actions are being transformed. That maybe in some way, you know, you'd be the type of person that you wouldn't think of anyone else, but suddenly you start thinking about others. Maybe you're like, I would have never gone on a mission trip, but now you're like, you know what? Now I want to go on a mission trip. Your actions begin to change and are being transformed. Next, you are convicted of righteousness and move into repentance and restoration. It was funny. I think they said they're okay with sharing this, but we were doing this in our, if not, I apologize, but I'm not going to give names, but we're just in our class and we're just talking about do we bring, if we bring our feelings, if we bring everything before God. And part of the confession that I think we all related to, we're like, yes, but sometimes no, or not right away, because we know what he's going to ask of us. Especially if we've wronged someone, then we know that he's going to call us into forgiveness and to talk to the person. And so sometimes we delay it, but we have the conviction of what we should do, right? All of us have that. We have a conviction of the righteousness that we should do in our lives. And when we don't do it and we do disobey, we then move into repentance. That sometimes, yes, we don't obey God, but then when we don't, we realize I need to go before God and repent and bring restoration back into my life. So the Holy Spirit, if you're feeling the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life, some people just try to say, oh, is that just my mind? Or is that like, what is it? No, that's the Holy Spirit's power being at work in your life. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is that the Holy Spirit confirms that you belong and are a child of God, your identity as a child of God. That you know that you are a child of God and that you belong to God's family. The Holy Spirit brings that confirmation in your life. You don't feel that you're on the outside anymore. You feel that you belong with God. You don't feel that God is distant anymore, but you know that God is near you. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit allows us to experience the love of God, the presence of God. Have you ever been in church and you're worshiping, or you're at home and you're worshiping, or wherever you may be, and you suddenly start to feel the love of God in your life? That's the Holy Spirit's work in your life, making you know that God's love, the Father's embrace, is real in your life. Next, you experience the working of the Holy Spirit in your life by having the desire to disobey transformed into being and doing what is pleasing to God. That kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with our actions being transformed. But suddenly our desire to disobey is transformed into obeying. And the question begins to transform from not what is pleasing to me, what is best for me, but it begins to be changed. What is pleasing to you, God? You know, in some ways, I know many of us probably find it frustrating in our decision-making process. I know I do. I confess that I sometimes find it harder, because sometimes I was like, oh, I just want to make a decision. But I was like, oh, I need to bring that before God and go, God, what is the pleasing thing to do here? And so that begins to transform in our lives. And then lastly, and there's so many other things, but I just brought down seven, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have tried to work any of these by your self-sufficiency and your human will, you will realize how frustrating you could find yourself being. If you've ever tried to be patient, you kind of almost find out that you almost become more impatient, because you're just trying so hard to just keep it in that you kind of just lose it even more. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to bring about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, the problem is sometimes it's the way we view the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and who we are becoming. And I want to challenge you to move towards a process mentality. What do I mean by a process mentality? That we view the change and power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives with a long view. Because change is most often a process and very seldom an event. Very often a process and very seldom an event. Trust me, I think most of us would just like to have microwave change in our lives for a lot of things. We're like, all right, I'm dealing with this, God. Let me just bring it to the altar and boom, you deal with it. And sometimes God does that. He deals with it at the altar. But then sometimes the work begins at the altar and begins to be worked out in our lives. That is the process mentality. And I think sometimes we grow frustrated in ourselves because we're not where we want to be in our relationship with God and our becoming of who Jesus is. Now, I'm not giving you an excuse, okay? I feel I have to clarify that because people will just use that as an excuse to just be, I'm in the process, all right? It's not an excuse to just yell to people, I'm in the process. God is working love in my life, right? Yes, it's true, but it's not an excuse. It's just a reminder. I think it lets us know of what is being worked out in our lives. And the reason I bring that up is because I think sometimes we find ourselves being so hard. I think we're harder on ourselves than God is. Because when the prodigal son returns home, the prodigal son is making everything up of what he thinks the father is going to embrace him like. Okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be a slave. The father has a different view. The son comes home, you're my son. And so sometimes I think the grace that we have for us, given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, is for us to just simply receive. And so take a process mentality of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that will also, because when you learn to take that process mentality in your life of understanding how the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you begin to be more gracious with yourself. And what happens when you begin to be more gracious with yourself? You begin to be gracious with one another. Because you begin to understand that this person next to me is also in the process of becoming who God has called them to be as well. Now, I understand it can be hard sometimes, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to finish with this quote here that says, the comfort of the power of the Holy Spirit is that it begins not with our natural abilities, but with looking outside ourselves. So I want to invite the worship team. The comfort of the power of the Holy Spirit is that it begins not with our natural abilities, but with looking outside ourselves. The invitation this morning is to begin looking outside of yourself. To begin looking instead to the Holy Spirit. It is an invitation to surrender. That your need is an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come. That we begin to just, maybe by confessing today, that Holy Spirit, I need your power. I've been trying to do it on my own, by my own strength, by my self-sufficiency, but I cannot do it on my own. That I cannot be and do what you have called me to be and do without you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your help. It's that humility of just saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. This has become my prayer in the last year. I just simply, when I'm praying, it's just this one sentence that I just say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I cannot be and do what you have called me to be and do without you. And slowly the process of the Holy Spirit begins to work in my life. And so I want to invite you this morning to see, to arrive to that place of surrender with the Holy Spirit. to make this your prayer as well. That maybe you've been struggling to be the husband or the wife that God has called you to be. Maybe you've been struggling to be the son or the daughter that God has called you to be. Or maybe you've just been struggling to be the friend that God has called you to be. And that you come with that surrender and say, yes, I cannot do it by myself. I need you, Holy Spirit. And so this morning we just say, come, Holy Spirit. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Holy Spirit, come into our lives as we just begin this intimate relationship with you, that we would just talk to you in our moments of frustration when we know we're not being the people that you have called us to be, where we reach our end of just feeling disappointed and frustrated of the way we are, that we would lean on you, Holy Spirit. Less of us and more of you, Holy Spirit. It's our confession that we cannot do it without you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need your help. You strengthen us with the ability to do and be what we cannot be and do by ourselves. It is your work. And we submit to that process daily, continually in our lives. And so we receive that grace as well. For those of us that are so hard on ourselves, we receive that grace freely that you give to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That we may walk in freedom and be people that are also gracious with one another, as others are also in the process of becoming who you have called them to be. And so, Holy Spirit, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Communion Sunday. So if you haven't received the Lord's Supper, just raise your hand and someone from the welcome team will pass by. Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so as we take communion, we are reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus did for us, that we may be right with God and put into right standing with God, and that we may love one another as well. Christ commanded all Christians to eat bread and to drink from the cup in thankful remembrance of him and his death. The Lord's Supper is a celebration of the presence of God in our midst, bringing us into communion with God and with one another, feeding and nourishing our souls. It also anticipates the day when we will eat and drink with Christ in his Father's kingdom. So as we go into a time of communion and reflect of Jesus' death for us, and what he's done for us, we thank you for your sacrifice, that you laid down your life so that we may have life. We are made right with God, not because of what we do, but because of what you did on the cross. And that you resurrected on the third day, and that promises for us that we also shall be resurrected by that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us as well. So we walk in that same power, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we live our lives. In Jesus' name, let's take of the Lord's Supper. mission impossible on opening these cups. Alright. Why don't we just do one more chorus and then we'll close.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, I'm in that place once again.
Receive the Lord's benediction. I changed the benediction from Romans 15:13, so please forgive me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In Jesus' name, be blessed.